Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving. I wish I knew what kind of sound corn made. I'm just going to take a guess. Welcome to the Gertrude Stein Department Store Thanksgiving Day Parade. I'm Hardy White, and I'm here with my good friend Butchie Spinoza. Thank you for joining us. I love parades. What about you, Butchie? Indifferent. Ah, come on. I'll do my job. Don't worry about me. We're up here in the broadcast booth on this chilly Thanksgiving day, and Lou Register is down on the parade ground right in the middle of all the sights and sounds and the tremendous crowd. Can you hear us, Lou?
No, I cannot. You are very far away. That's why I'm glad we have this headphone set up so we can communicate.
Parade's getting ready to start, isn't it?
I believe it has already started, or maybe it never ended from last year. But I see a bunch of giant balloons of cartoon characters I don't recognize.
Well, I'm sure we have some old favorites from the funny papers like Henry. Also, Windsor McKay's Flip. What would a parade be without them? Well, what's our first band, Butch? I can hear them playing.
Why, that's the University of Tomorrow's Marching Possibilities. And they are playing a medley.
A medley what?
Medley.
Oh, I thought you said metally, like something like heavy metally.
No, of course I didn't say that. They're playing a medley of some lame movie scores or something. I don't know, man.
Just to give you some insight from street level, the man in front of me sounds like he's hacking up a lung.
Glad you shared that, Lou. We have our first float coming up now, consisting of over 10,000 used colored Kleenex. This float from the Friends of Big Heads is a tribute to big heads in art and culture. From Zardoz to Billy from Family Circus. Big outsized heads are a favorite with the crowd, and this float has them all.
Nothing's funnier than a character with a giant noggin. I love messed up proportions.
Good stuff.
Butchie, tell us about the next group coming up here.
Some school or something doing music. I don't know, man. Kids all wearing uniforms, throwing junk around and playing music they just learned. Good stuff. Who doesn't like Thanksgiving?
We all love Thanksgiving.
Just a little history on Thanksgiving. I got super sick last year, but you guys said it wasn't the turkey because you ate it and were fine and I didn't eat any turkey.
Oh, I remember that. You messed up our card game. Take a pill this year or something.
The actual history of Thanksgiving is sort of iffy.
Yeah, shall we repeat the culturally biased myths?
No, let's not. The main point is thankfulness can be a wonderful thing if you direct it to other people.
Know where your food comes from, you ingrates.
This next float is a favorite. It's called the Time Machine, and it's a real time machine.
I hope they don't switch it on and mess up the continuity of our commentary.
This float is sponsored by a collaboration between the entertainment industry and a pantheon of interdimensional godlike creatures who wish to control the universe. The time machine is constructed from wave-like particles that have been assembled using pure thought and decorated with over 500,000 ribbons and flowers made entirely of precious metals.
It's a heck of a lot better than our time machine.
It is.
Are we ready for the parade to start?
Any moment, Lou. Let us know when the first float comes by and we'll start broadcasting.
Will do.
Next up are the Chimpy Mummers.
100 chimpanzees dressed as mummers and playing banjos. How Philly. This is totally my thing.
I knew you'd like it.
No, I mean it's literally my thing. I organized this. Those chimps are going to lose focus in a minute, and all heck is going to break loose, but whatever. It's not Thanksgiving without destructive ape musicians.
Since you asked, my favorite foods during the holidays is cranberries, or rather, combining the wonderful acidic cranberries with some fatty food to offset the richness. Love doing that.
I take everything on my plate and mix it up into a big mess, and then scrape it all into the garbage can and get another plate. Little ritual I do.
Hey, everybody, look. It's Elmo.
Elmo Hope.
The great jazz pianist and composer Elmo Hope is not with us anymore, but this great tribute is the next best thing. I also like those people who dress up like Bud Powell in March.
The marching monks?
No, they're the ones who dress up like Thelonious Monk. Why would the Bud Powell cosplayers be called the monks?
I don't know.
Look at this float, y'all. It's a tribute to world religions. I see the eight immortals.
And various voodoo loa.
And there's Swami Vivekananda.
And the medieval French Rabbi Rashi.
They literally have every religion. Oh, and there's Baha'u'llah.
Very inclusive. Is that Rumi or Maimonides?
Lou?
I'm sorry, I should know that. I'm an idiot.
You're gonna get us in trouble. Oh, look, it's people dressed in different type of potatoes. Funny stuff.
Do you remember that time we tried to make a Thanksgiving meal?
Not really.
Let's flash back anyway. Mmm, what smells so good? Are you cooking a turkey?
No, it's these roasting flesh air fresheners. That one's golden turkey. There's also glazed ham and savory beef.
As my vegetarian grandfather would say, it smells like a veterinary crematorium in here.
You guys aren't helping my appetite. What are you doing, Lou?
I'm peeling potatoes. I'm making my famous peeled and cooked potatoes.
Are you going to make something for Thanksgiving dinner, Butchie?
My first inclination is to say no, but I got this historic recipe I want to try.
Oh, what ingredients do you need? I'm headed to the store.
Near as I can tell, I need bread, honey, rye, one pocketful, and 24 blackbirds. Not crows. That's a common mistake, apparently. It's a dish they used to set before the king. I figured we needed something dainty.
I don't like savory pies or eat meat.
Could you just make a fruit pie?
Well, there's a recipe in here for a pie, but it calls for whole plums.
I'll just pick up a pumpkin pie at the store. What else do you guys want for dinner?
Oh, get corn. I'll make cornucopia.
I don't think that's... All right.
I heard at the first Thanksgiving they actually had eel. Get some eels. Jellied, please.
I was thinking more along the lines of stuffing.
Oh, you mean dressing.
I could make the dressing because I have a special stuffing gown.
Get cranberries. I love cranberries. The acidity helps cut the richness of certain foods, creating a nice balance.
Get instant potatoes in case Lou's suck.
Hey, my potatoes are good.
I said in case. Also get two loaves of challah. Also get one of those paper tablecloths with pictures of religious extremists on it.
People always notice that pilgrims wear buckles on their hats. But did you know that they would also wear hat bands around their waists and also boots on their hands and men's Y-front underwear on their heads when they were feeling playful?
I could care less about the food. The whole point is just to publicly acknowledge that we are lucky to have food. That the earth provides for our basic needs, so we are obliged to be good stewards, and that we are dependent on one another for survival and happiness, so we acknowledge this by expressing love and thanks.
Oh, Butchie, that's beautiful.
Oh, please.
Well said, Butch.
Stop with the flattery and just get my 24 birds.
I remember that so well. The pie didn't turn out that great, though.
Well, it's tricky getting the birds to stay alive and sing after baking them.
I guess the lesson is that it's the fellowship and love that counts.
I would also like to point out that the cooked meat air freshener seasonal scents aren't too good this year. The turkey one is now called roast bird and smells more like chicken.
I used to have a pillow that smelled like chicken bouillon.
And here's our next float. The cast of Beckett's Endgame. It's Ham, Clove, and the whole gang here representing the Jackknife Experimental Theater's new production of Endgame, starring Hans Conried and Edward Everett Horton.
Get ready.
Go and get the sheet.
Clove.
Yes.
I'll give you nothing more to eat. Then we'll die. I'll give you just enough to keep you from dying.
I love the holiday favorites.
Don't mean to interrupt, but a kid just poured a hot cocoa down my pants and I'm trying not to react.
Good job, Lou.
Who are those guys running around down there? Dirty lumberjacks?
Those are the woodsmen from Twin Peaks The Return. Does something smell like burnt oil and electricity? Well, it's probably the occupants of the Black Lodge home for the holidays. These mysterious figures are running willy-nilly down our parade route in search of victims to feed the demonic forces of evil's appetite for pain and suffering. Watch out if they ask you for a light.
I noticed some of these floats have musicians on them and even pianos.
Yeah?
So why do they make the marching bands walk? Don't they know they can ride?
I think the people walking break things up a bit.
How is this guy walking on his hands the whole time? Oh, wait, he's in a costume that makes it look like he's walking on his hands. So I guess my real question is, how is this person walking with a human head between their legs the whole time?
What's this next group? Zombies?
No, that's the Ono Street Budo Club. What would a Thanksgiving parade be without Budo dancers and their twisted, grotesque movements that convey the torment of corporeal existence?
Hi, Butchie.
Hey, Mysterious Angel.
You look wistful.
It's the holiday. I can't stop thinking about my family.
You miss them?
Of course. I feel alone in the world.
But you have your friends. They love you.
I know, but it's different. I miss my actual family, and maybe I miss being younger, too. I like knowing what I know now, but it makes me more jaded. I miss being naive, frankly. Things were simpler.
Would you trade knowing the truth for being more content?
Not at all. I want to know about the darkness and suffering and the plight of others. I want to know about the temporary nature of things and the great emptiness at the center of it all.
Man, you're even bringing me down.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm fine. But I understand.
When I was a kid, we'd go over to my great-grandmother's house in Haddonfield. Aunt Alice and Uncle Victor Delaney would be there, and Uncle Bumps and my grandparents and my folks, and even some cousins from West Virginia with teeth missing. And it was nice. And I'd get candy and eat a lot, and I never had to think about anything.
But we grow up, and the world opens up to us, and if we face it with bravery, we get the chance to do something about it, to repair these things the best we can.
I know, and I relish that.
Your friends depend on you.
I think I go overboard with the tough guy act, though.
I don't know. You are tough.
I am. I'm tough, but I feel stuff, too. Brave is being scared and doing it anyway.
Right, Butchie.
I have a question.
Shoot.
So, you're an angel. Are you like the ghost of a dead person, or some different being, or an alien, or what?
Oh, that's a good question. I am a personification of a basic concept or ideal. Do you know what the term qualia is?
Forget it. I'm sure it's interesting. So you're not a specific dead person is really all I was looking for.
Oh, no. That's a ghost.
Oh, okay.
To answer your question, Butchie, Adam Strange, I think.
Oh, that makes sense.
Speaking of superheroes, look who's coming.
Up in the sky!
Hey, fantastic!
It's the Fat Fury, American Comics Group's Herbie Popnicker, the little fat nothing, a favorite of kids and grown-ups everywhere.
You want I should bop you with my lollipop?
I love Herbie!
Herbie Popnicker is 60 feet long, 60 feet wide, 60 feet tall, and filled with 15,000 cubic feet of helium. He requires more than 70 handlers.
Amazing!
One year, the lollipop fell and really did bop some people, I think.
It's cinnamon, right?
Pretty sure it's cinnamon.
The next float is the float from the parade sponsor, Gertrude Stein Department Store. And it is a giant wood Napoleon. Made of four different types of wood, the Stein Wood Napoleon is the largest wood Napoleon.
Exact resemblance.
To exact resemblance, the exact resemblance.
As exact, as a resemblance, exactly as resembling.
Exactly resembling.
Exactly in resemblance, exactly a resemblance.
Exactly and resemblance. Who is the next group, Butchie?
It's my dad's friends from work.
Can you tell us something about them?
I'm pretty sure the one guy is Tony, and the big guy is, what's his name? Jackie, maybe? He used to be a cop. I think it's Jackie. They're good guys, I guess. Except for Red. He's very violent. I don't know why they stay friends with him. I would hide in the closet when the guy came over when I was a kid.
Hey, I got a question.
What is it, Lou?
Some joker just pranked me with that expanding insulating foam. Is that stuff toxic or anything? And how hard is it to get out of hair?
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou.
I'm having a rough time down here. Also, any way to get me some hot coffee and one of those stools that folds up into a cane?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
You're lucky to be down there. It's sort of stuffy up here. And they misspelled my name on the custom ceramic mug holding my gourmet coffee.
The next float is sponsored by Bong Sao, Head Shop and Wing Chun School.
Where were you when I was college age?
It's a theme they call All the Stuff You Thought Was Cool When You Were 17.
Hey, I had that Sir Lord Baltimore album.
That dude's belt is so wide, I love it.
That guy dressed as Clarence Williams III is my new hero.
That is a cool float.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first year that Marvin Capim hasn't been in the parade, am I right?
Yeah, for years the Grand Marshal was Arnold Stang. We are really losing all the greats. Ubi sunt, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving! Oh, don't get up. You look awesome in that comfy chair. And you look so sharp. Sorry I'm late. I had to remember it was Thanksgiving. Then I had to remember that we should have it together. Will you look at that light through that window? That is what they call the golden hour. Am I right? Makes everything look orange. I know you don't like oranges. I just meant it makes the world look on fire. So, did you watch TV today? I was going to, but I kept forgetting to watch since I was at work and all, actually. Wonder if dinner's ready yet. Again, you look so sharp and distinguished in that chair. It looks like you're a nobleman or something, or some dignitary. Or at a really fancy barbershop. In fact, let me stand behind you and give that hair a comb, sir. I've learned a little how to do this by watching. A little off the top today. Just kidding. I'm just combing it out of your eyes. You're looking good. Oh. Well, I had to go by the regular store today, and I thought about your store. I used to love going in there. It was magical to me. I ran around like I owned it or something. Oh, I'm smelling something now. I hope it's food, because otherwise that makes me uneasy. Oh, here we go, here we go. Hello. What service? Thank you. Oh, fantastic. Look at this. It's like we're at some kind of five-star hotel or something. Oh, they got lids on everything. I'm impressed. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're going to enjoy it. Well, here, look at this. They got some wonderful-looking dishes. And literally, the dishes look nice. Well, let me hold your hand and say something first, all right? Thank you so much to the saints for letting Grandpa and I be together on this Thanksgiving Day meal. And bless us and keep us healthy and all, and acknowledge our acknowledgement of how precious everything is and how fleeting our time together. This blessing before us looks so appealing to us, and we are more than satisfied. Amen and amen. All right. I am so sure that you will like these fantastic-looking potatoes, that I'm going to get you a spoonful of them myself and insist that you have a taste here. There we go. What do you think? What do you think? Are they as good as they look? I'm more of a smell keeper.
My cup is the one with the picture of Ted Lange on it. We are back with our coverage of the Gertrude Stein Department Store's Thanksgiving Day Parade. You'll appreciate this next one, Butch. By my green candle, it's Ma and Pa Ubu on their way to invade Poland. Alfred Jerry's beloved Pear Ubu character has a pointy head and a toilet brush, and he's ready to wreak havoc on the world as he combines ignorance, arrogance, and sadism into a toxic mix.
Last year's tribute to Ramon Roussel was lovely, too. They had this machine, powered by the wind, that made mosaics out of teeth.
Too many literary references in this parade. Well then, here's something you might like, Butch. It's cool cars driven by scary middle-aged dudes. Oh, they meet at the burger place near my house.
These are some cool cars, but the dudes driving them seem unapproachable.
That is the central conflict in philosophy.
How so?
Next up, it's the magic eye float.
It just looks like a jumbled blur.
I don't see anything.
Sort of cross your eyes and focus just past the float.
Nothing. Oh, wait, there it is. It's a ship!
I don't see anything.
Oh, cool.
Wait, it just looks all jumbly.
How do they do that?
Man, I don't see.
Next up, it's a sports tribute. Here we have some stars of the U.S. Processed Meat Baseball League. We have players from the New Jersey Pork Rolls, the Philadelphia Scrapples, and the Cincinnati Gettas, among others.
There's a town in Georgia that's spelled Vienna, but it's pronounced Vienna.
Did you think of that? Did you think of sausages or something, and it reminded you of that?
That I what now?
I'm pretty sure I just got taken. I just bought a bottle of fake cologne.
What happened, Lou?
I think this is just an old bottle of Creed Viking filled with canoe. I totally got taken. I'm out $50.
You should play some three-card Monty and win big.
Should I?
Butchie, cut it out.
I have to be honest. I can't hardly see anything down here. Why am I on street level again?
In case we need someone to smell something.
It does smell odd down here.
The next float is a tribute to salesmen. What would we do without those brave souls among us who don't mind pretending to be your friend in order to extract resources from you? It takes a lot for folks to surrender their hard-earned capital, but what better way than to convince them that you have their best interests in mind, or even that you are their friend? The men and women of our national sales forces do this every day, keeping things running by frightening old people with imaginary problems and then offering disingenuous solutions designed to separate them from their money. Trust me, you need this. Join me as we salute our national sales force.
Thank you for your customer service.
I don't get what any of this has to do with Thanksgiving.
Well, we come together on Thanksgiving to say thank you. And the parade is reminding us that there are different ways to express our ideas about the world we live in, vis-a-vis walking down an empty street.
You know, they call them floats because they used to literally float, but now that's illegal.
I have a memory one year of there being a bunch of flying carpets.
Yeah, see, you can't have that anymore because they don't allow magic.
Oh, that's a shame.
They're so afraid someone will be enchanted or something. I don't need a nanny, brother. I'm an interdimensional warrior.
Well, not everyone is, Butch.
True. Oh, hey, it's Pastor Munch from my service station. Chef Jive!
I don't think he can hear you.
Seeing him makes me feel a little more like giving thanks. I seem all tough, but really I'm very thankful to have friends like you guys and be alive on this beautiful day, enjoying my community coming together to celebrate various things that I don't care for.
Oh, that's very nice, Butchie.
Whatever.
I'm also thankful for you, my friends. Although I sure would like being up there in the warmth.
We appreciate you too, Lou.
Bet it's nice and warm up there.
How much longer is the parade?
I have no idea why.
I was thinking about taking a little break.
Hello, my friends. What's that? I'm sitting here next to a roaring, crackling fire. Oh, it's so nice. Nice thing to do on a Thanksgiving. Warm yourself up next to a fire, sit in your favorite chair, pull it up to the is it called the hearth or something? Put some logs in there, squirt some kind of lighter fluid. No, I don't think that's the way you do it. And then light a fire and you'll have a beautiful crackling fire. No, that's just wadded up paper. My aunt taught me how to do that. When I was little, I used to like to play with a tape recorder. And she said, if you wad up some paper like that, it sounds like a fire. And I thought it did. I don't know if it does or not. I also thought this sounded like a crowd. I don't know. I think my sound effects have gotten more sophisticated now. Now, if I want to have a sound effect of a fire, I start a raging fire. And it's funny because it doesn't sound the same on the radio. You can't get the subtlety of the moisture popping in the log and then throwing a spark out into the room and lighting an old carpet on fire and everybody yelling, do something, get some water, get a bucket of sand, like that. That happens every single year. But it's wonderful to gather around the fire just like our ancestors did. And why did they gather around the fire? Was it to keep warm?
No, my ancestors lived in a very warm climate. The reason they did it is because they would look into the fire and they would start to hallucinate that they saw people dancing in the flames and things like that. And because they didn't have television or drugs or anything back then, they would just stare into the flames. And then at some point someone said, you know, I'm hungry. And another person would say, let's kill something. And then someone would say, no, why would we kill anything? We have these delicious vegetables. And then someone else would say, hey, to each his own. And the vegetable person would say, okay, I don't think it's really equivalent. Oh, when we all gather together at the holidays, we have so many opinions. We come from so many backgrounds, sometimes even within the same family. You will have people from different backgrounds say, we have one half of the family that is from outer space. And they're fun, but, you know, they have different opinions about things because of your Venusian or whatever. You might see the world a little differently. Because when you're on the world, it seems one thing, but when you're away one planet over, the world seems so much smaller. It is a small world, as they say at the theme park, after all. After all of what? After all the things you've eaten? Oh my gosh, get together every year and we like to eat and celebrate with food. We like to fulfill the basic needs of humankind. What are they? One is eating. Another's using the bathroom, but we don't want to all do that together because it's different. I don't know. It's not the same to get together on a holiday. Let's all use the bathroom together. No one says that. I remember the first time I had to live in some kind of a communal dormitory, and you had to use a restroom that had a bunch of, just like a public restroom, but you got to use it every single day, go into one of those stalls. And eventually people become a little too comfortable with sitting there in the stall next to you, and they begin having a conversation. I could never get used to that. And go, I'm in here reading, so I'm not going to respond. But when around the dinner table, we can talk about so many things or nothing sometimes is the important thing to do. Let's just eat in silence. A lot of monasteries would do that. And that becomes after years of saying, I just don't want to hear Brother Larry's opinions anymore. So I'm going to make a new rule that we all eat in silence because, blah, 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 blah. Or if you have to wait for the head person to finish their food, but they're one of those talkers that just say, you haven't touched your food, you're just telling the story. So it's best that we all eat in silence. But on Thanksgiving, I don't know what the model is. We all do different things. It's a baffling holiday for me because I know a lot of it is based in on mythical events and things like that, or distorted history. I know that it's supposed to be a holiday where we all come back to our hometown. A lot of people don't even have that anymore. Where would you go back? So you have to go back to your ethnic origins. So you got to take a DNA test, and then you got to find what country you're from. Then you got to go there, and you go, but I don't even like, you know, lutefisk or something like that. No, you have to eat it. It's your people. Oh, my goodness. We gather around the table together, families, and give thanks. Say, I don't know what I'm thankful for. Sometimes I get together with my family. It's very stressful, Hardy. I understand that. And maybe you rather get together with friends or something. We find support where we can. We find our groups where we can. There's no guarantee. Don't go by TV and everything to set up your ideals. You're going to be disappointed. Life isn't like those old TV shows or movies or Norman Bates paintings or whatever that we'd see on the Saturday Night Live review when we were young. Say, look at those, the granny and all having the turkey. And the grandfather looking over her shoulder, trying to tell her what to do, even though she's a better cook. Those are all false stories. They're not our stories. Ours are all different and idiosyncratic and everything. And life is a lot messier than that. And sometimes that pressure to have your life look like a kind of calendar or catalog is just too much. The other day I was at my mother's house, and she got a catalog from a certain fancy department store that every year for decades has had gifts in it that no normal person could afford. I remember when I was a child looking at it, my grandmother would have one of these catalogs, and I think one of the things was His and Her Submarines, even. I said, who's going to even buy that? I don't understand. I can barely buy a trinket out of this catalog, but it's fun to look at it and imagine, but you can't mistake that for reality. Probably not going to get His and Her Submarines this year. Probably going to get something like, I was at the drugstore anyway, getting some spray for my problem. And I found these. I thought they were neat. They're coasters, and they have pictures of a TV show on it that's not on anymore. And I immediately thought of you, because I remember how you like things that nobody else likes. And these were in that section where they said, oh, we're practically giving these things away because nobody will buy them. That's my favorite section. I go to that immediately. I go, what is it that nobody wants? I want it. It's like when you go to the pound or something, show me the dog that nobody wants. It's right there. Well, I can see why they don't want it. It's not a dog. Yeah, but it still needs love. I'm not so sure of that. What you're showing me is an inanimate object. Oh, well, one stall over. Oh, that one. That is indeed a cat. But I think it's a type of dog. I'm really looking for a vertebrate, so it doesn't matter. In fact, I'll just take a disembodied spine with little googly eyes on it. That would be fine, too. I just wanted something to direct my love at. Really, it doesn't even have to love me back. I would like to take this time of year, Thanksgiving, when we imagine things. What do we imagine? Dried up things? Everything's dried up and dying because it's that time of year. It is a harvest festival. And one of the things we think of when we think of harvesting is we picture death with a scythe out there in the field, say it's time to reap what we have sowed. We have planted a plant in the ground. We have watered it with the water. With the rain has rained down upon it and has grown, and we had watched it every day. First we went out there and we saw the soil, saw the little sprouts poking up out of the soil, and we went, oh, it's springtime, life is affirming itself. And then in the middle of summer we saw as it was teeming with life, the green lushness of greenness everywhere. We say, oh my goodness, all the plants are coming up and things are thriving. And then the fall comes and say, well, it's about to be winter. We need to harvest these things, and it's time to cut them down, and it's time to reap them and bring them in from the fields where they have grown. It is the end of their life cycle, and it's time to shove it all in our pie hole. First, we must process it into a pie, but I don't even know what a pie is. Does a pie need a crust? I've made things that say, oh, it's a crustless pie, or this pie has no filling. Is it still a pie? I don't know. Those are philosophical questions. But we bring them from the field as if we are reaping, as if we are death itself. And then I don't know if death eats what it hunts. That's another thing. So are you going to, you're going to kill me, death? Yes. But are you going to then consume me? Well, that's none of your business. You'll be dead. Well, I know, but I'm just thinking, I was hoping to be donated to one of those exhibits where they take all your skin off, dip you in plastic, and then pose you throwing a frisbee to show you what it's like when flayed corpses do sports. No, I'm thinking I'm going to go ahead and eat you all up. Oh, all right. Well, that's a thing, I suppose. But bless you. I'm just glad to be of use, I suppose. All right. Well, shut up. Get in the bag. All right. Oh, my goodness. To say we reap what we sow, if we're lucky. That's the thing. It's if you're lucky, it will grow and you will reap what you sow. But sometimes the seed falls on barren areas. So I took a bag of seeds and I threw it into the street. And one of the seeds, I don't remember what happened. I think I was mad. I said, darn seeds! And I don't know if any of them grew. I think that's the year I grew pumpkins in the gutter. I love getting together with people, though. Initially, I get scared. So we're going over to so-and-so's house for a meal. Oh, I don't know anybody. I get all uptight. I go, I don't know anyone. Don't worry about it. They're very friendly and very inviting. Yeah, but I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to use the wrong fork. What if they got a paratopi fork? What?
I don't know. See, I don't even know what all the forks are for. I was at one place and they had a little tiny fork. I don't know if it was for pulling meat out of a crab. I don't even eat that stuff.
But don't worry about it. Nobody's going to make you feel foolish. The whole point of this meal is getting together, just to be thankful to be in one another's presence. Oh, my goodness. One year, I was driving some miles to attend a family Thanksgiving. And I brought with me a green bean casserole. Now, I had made this green bean casserole with some main ingredients that go into them. One is the green beans. You can use them frozen, fresh, or whatever, but it's best if you use the kind that are already kind of all gray and shriveled up and everything like that. So you put these gray old green beans into something. Then you take a can of soup. What kind of soup? I don't remember. And I think that might have affected the recipe. I just grabbed any old can off the shelf and I tossed it in there and I mixed it up. And then you top it with some kind of, I don't know, French fried onion rings. Put that all in the oven. Set the oven on, I don't know, I'm just guessing, 800. And then cook it overnight or something. I don't remember what I did exactly. But I pulled the string bean casserole then out of the oven the next day, covered it with tin foil, then put it in an insulated carrying case and put it in my car and proceeded to drive. I began to drive across country, and when I did, I saw all the sights and sounds of the holiday season. There were all kinds of Thanksgiving decorations already out. People had large cornucopias the size of houses with a bunch of dried dead fruit coming out of them. What kind of gourd is that? Gourds everywhere, dried up corn on the cob, all the beautiful things that we associate with the holidays. And I drove, and as I was driving, I heard something from the back seat. Like a little voice coming from the insulated carrying case. So what could that be? I didn't know what it was. And so I drove a little more and I heard it again. And I thought, is the radio not on all the way? And I turned it up and I still heard this voice. Then I realized it was coming from the green bean casserole. I immediately pulled over to the side of the road, because you should always pull over to the side of the road when you need to examine any kind of talking food in your back seat. This one time it was a raisin screaming back there, and I did the same thing. So I pulled over, and the green bean casserole said to me, I am no ordinary green bean casserole. I am, in fact, the genie of the green bean casserole. I'm in here. I'm saying, is that like the Jolly Green Giant? They said, no, not at all. I have no real corporeal substance, all right? I'm more like a spirit, and I live in this beautiful potluck favorite, which is the green bean casserole, which I believe came from the kitchens of the soup company. There used to be food companies that say, what could people do with our soup? Just eat it? And I'd say, no, I don't think so. Let's have them do something else with it. We can make suggestions to pour it in something, make it into a pie. I don't know. Yeah, just take the soup, pour it into a pie shell. And then, you know, they would do experiments and they'd come up with these beautiful casseroles, which is how we get most of our food. The genie then appeared to me in the passenger seat of my car. He said, I'm going to take on a form you can understand. And he turned into a congealed wad of concentrated soup. You know, when you dump the cream soup right out of the can without adding water and it kind of retains the shape of the can. I had a project in elementary school one time. They said, bring a tin can, try to get one without a seam. That's almost impossible because we are using the can to make candles. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to melt down some wax and we're going to pour it in the empty can. And that's going to be your candle. So don't get one with a bunch of ridges like that where it's hard to try to get a smooth one, so that we can get the candle out once you put the wax in. Otherwise, it'll be stuck in the can. So my grandmother and I looked all over for cans that didn't have any kind of ridges on them. And we finally found one. It was a mandarin orange slice can, and it was smooth as could be inside. I said, I will use that for my can, my mold, to make a candle. And my family will love this. And I did this, and they loved the candle.
And that's the end of this story. But there's a genie made of soup concentrate in my front seat. What about that, Hardy? Get back to the story. My goodness, you are going off on tangents. Why do we go off on tangents? I'll tell you why. Because the tangent is just basically a template for the way the human life evolves anyway. It's a tree. Everything is branching. Everything has dendrites. Look at your nerve cells in your brain. They look like tiny trees. They have... They're dendrites. They branch. The branch of a human evolution. Things come off and then things shoot off to the side like that. Variations happen. And so everything branches. Rivers do this. Everything that we see goes off and branches. Nothing goes in a straight line like that. That's an illusion. That's something we want to be, but everything is more complicated than that. Veins on a leaf or fingers on a hand. Things look like trees. They branch off in different directions, three-dimensionally, and they go on like this forever, even if we can't see them. And so the story of the green bean casserole genie leads to some story of a candle made in a tin can. And this goes on forever, and we never sometimes get back to the basic tree trunk, the root of the story, and those roots, you know, the roots do the same thing as branches. They go in all different directions. So no story, no two stories have the same origin, even though they seem like they come from the same place. My grandfather would sit at the head of the table, even though my grandmother really made the meal, and, well, she would sit at the other head of the table, now that I'm thinking about it. So that maybe this table had no foot or head. Maybe it had two heads. Like those push-me-pull-yous in Dr. Doolittle. I think I think they were implying he didn't do much, but that is not true. I think he did a lot. Dr. Do-a-lot. And they should call him that because if you take care of animals, there's a lot of do. Am I right? You've had to clean up poo. What, and leave show business? Everything poos. If we eat, we also have waste. But you know, we have to eat. And that's why food is such an essential part of these holidays and everything. Because we need our sustenance. We need to survive. That's number one. There is no number two if there's no number one, so to speak. So the first thing is survive, right? We can't have pleasure. We can't have thankfulness even if we're not even here. And so we acknowledge that we need our needs met. Oh, this world meets our needs and we take it for granted unless we don't. Because there are those of us who have been without resources, unable to feed ourselves and know what it's like to be hungry. No human being, no creature should be hungry. Not on a place with so much plenty. And yet we keep food from one another. That's why there's starving people, because we prevent them from having food. Oh, yes, we do. We hoard our resources. So I might need this second egg, but it'll go bad. Why don't you share it? Well, I might need it later. Whoops, it went bad. I'm going to throw it away. Oh, somebody could have eaten it, but I don't know them. You don't know them yet. Oh, and your paths might cross in the future. My friends, I'm so glad to call you friend. This whole world is made up of connections. We're all connected and dependent on one another, whether we think that or not. And I see there's so much good in this world. I see people helping one another out. And there will be those who do not want to help one another out. And there is animosity and there is evil and there is violence and there's terror in this world. I understand that too. But don't give up hope. Because there is love and caring among even strangers. Some of us can acknowledge this in our heart, that we need one another, that we should take care of this world that provides us with food, that other people are just like ourselves, and that we need to provide for them too. If we have love in our hearts. Oh, I'll reach out now to all of you. I know that not everybody is feeling great right now on this holiday. And I just tell you that as another human being, I acknowledge that you might have struggles. And I acknowledge that you might not even have good food to eat. And I would hope that somebody would take care of you. Oh, I hope you can reach out to people that need you this holiday season, because that's all that's important, isn't it? not, if you please the least among us, who are not really the least, they're just the great in disguise. Please reach out, open up your heart. Your heart is like a cornucopia. I remember there's an episode of Star Trek where there was a giant cornucopia in space that was eating planets. And William Wyndham or somebody flew into it and blew it up and before it could eat any more planets. And once it was filled with planets, though, they just cascaded out the opening in a beautiful, inviting place, what do you call it, centerpiece. That would have been nice, with grape leaves and, like I said, dried up corn. Oh, my friends, I want to be dried up corn for you. What does that mean, Hardy? I don't know exactly. Although some sort of grain that you might use later that can be preserved. Hang on to something I've said. Whip it out for company later. Say, this dried up corn cob is going to keep me company. Yes, sir, that's what I am. I'm a dried up piece of vegetable that you thought was useless, but I might come in handy. Heck, you can carve me up and make me into a pipe, or you can make me into a, or you can burn corn cobs. Just use me for fuel. Keep you warm or something. Keeping you company is enough. I would love to make you laugh, and I would love to make you think, and I'd like to make you think that you've just laughed. But if I can't do any of those things, then I would just as soon be company for you. I would just as soon sit there and make you feel as if everything were normal, especially in times where nothing is normal. Oh, I've gone and I've sat with my grandmother, who is not living anymore, but near the end of her life, she was dependent on others to feed her, just like I was dependent on others to feed me at the beginning of my life. And it was such a blessing to be able to return the favor. So, we put spoons in babies' mouths, and then the babies put the spoons in the parents' mouth, eventually. And we feed one another. And that's such a basic part of human life, is meeting each other's fundamental needs. And the most fundamental need is food. Oh, in this world, no one should be without food. No one should be without food. And you know, ideally, no one should be without love. The other thing that sustains us, the thing that's harder to find even, is love. Hard to be cherished like that. Oh, and we fear losing both. Sometimes we don't realize how tentative our food supply is, and we don't fear losing it enough. But we do understand love. We understand how impermanent love is. We understand it can go away. And sometimes we fear that so much we can't even find it. Oh, my friends, open your hearts. Don't be fearful. Open your hearts to love. Be receptive. Understand others. Oh, putting yourself in other people's places is so hard. Oh, you'll have to feel what they feel. And that might be difficult, but it will make you a better person if you could understand what other people experience. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Go ahead and feel it. Say, what would I really do in that position? And that will expand your world. You will open your eyes. And so the genie said to me, I am here to grant wishes. I will grant you 5 wishes. I got 5, isn't it usually 3? And he said, yes, but in my experience, people blow the first 3. And I give you an extra 2 to make up for it. And usually it just puts you back to square 1. Ah, I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind going back to square 1. Where is square 1? Well, it depends what kind of game you're playing. All right. Let's say you're playing Candyland. All right. Square 1 would be where you start. Or you're playing Monopoly. Okay? Go back to Go. Do I collect anything? I think you do. I think you can collect the whole world. That's better than losing my soul. Yes, yes. If you land on Boardwalk and you got to pay triple rent, you're going to lose your soul. And it's no use gaining the whole world and lose your soul. Oh, I just want to say a few words before we sit down to eat. Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming to my Thanksgiving meal this year. We have a beautiful feast in front of us. All sorts of foods accommodating all sorts of eating styles. I would like to apologize to the vegetarians, and not in a funny way. I am so sorry because I know it's a bigger sacrifice to have you witnessing us doing something that you consider unethical or immoral than it is for us to accommodate you. So, I apologize for any of us who are defensive about it. And we would pray that if what we are doing is wrong, that we may change, help us to change over time and maybe not do this thing. So, but right now we're going to do these two things together. And I know that's rough, but sometimes we have to overlook even the worst to stay connected to our fellow human beings, don't we? And so join me. We got this turkey in the middle of the table, but we also have some wonderful vegetarian items here as well today. And for those, we are blessed. I would like to also recognize that not all of us are in the same state of health. We are not all in the same stage of life. Some of us are young, some of us are old. There is no guarantee as to the lifespan of any individual. Who knows who among us will be here next year and who will be gone? And so all we have is this moment right now in each other's presence. This is all of life and eternity here in this one moment around this dinner table, which is symbolic of the life we are sharing. This dinner table is the era in which we live. We are in different places in our lives. We will spend, some of us, more time than others at this dinner table. But this is life and this is the world, and here we are, impermanent beings gathered around it, able to share this experience, this once in a lifetime, literally once in a lifetime experience together. Please, oh forces that I do not understand in the world, let me open my heart and reject this fear that I feel. Let me be open to others. Let me be able to receive the love that I also want to give, that we may feel as if we are safe and taken care of by each other, that we may trust one another with our feelings, with our very lives, that we acknowledge that this food is also a gift and impermanent. If we don't eat it now, it's not going to be good in a few days or weeks. This is something that must be enjoyed right now, cannot be stored away necessarily, has to be enjoyed and then has to be pursued again over and over, just like our lives. Every day we must rise and go out into the world again. There is no way to seal it in special plastic and keep it preserved forever and still have experiences. Oh, no. We must journey forth, all of us. And it is a struggle, not knowing what's going to happen next. But I tell you what, if we do this together, then we can guarantee that on days that I feel weak, you may feel strong. On days that I cannot do for myself, you might be able to do for me. And then once I regain my strength, I can repay that great gift that you have given me and help you and lift you up and feed you and give you company. Oh, let's join hands. I know I don't like that goofy stuff. Oh, you know what? Right now, who cares? Give me your darn hand. Let me hold your hand in mine. I'll tell you why I do this. Because it's not that we hold hands when normally. You know when I would more likely to be holding your hand? When you're dying. To me, this is symbolic of the last moments we have together. When we have so little fear of being judged at the end, say, I'm just going to hold this person's hand because you know what? I'm never going to see them again. This hand will never be able to grip back into mine. And so right now I want to feel that. I want to feel your life and your energy right out there. I want to touch our hands together, these hands with which we mold the world. I want to feel the thing that you mold the world with.
your hand. Let's put it in mine now so I can feel your life in this moment and appreciate it and call out to the world and say, I'm frightened, I'm scared, but I am also feeling so much joy right now to be in the presence of other human beings, to be alive in this world right now, to see all this crazy stuff, to smell all these wacky smells, to feel all these confusing feelings. Oh, I know that it will not be permanent, and so I enjoy this moment right now and give thanks. What is thanks? I don't even know. Oh, I don't even know. It's a little bit of fear, saying, please don't make it go away. It's a little bit of guilt. It's a little bit of joy. It's just these feelings of being overwhelmed and finally understanding that there's more than yourself. There's everything else out there and that you don't have control over it. Where is it coming from? Who do I thank? Well, you know what? I don't know exactly who to thank, but I'm going to start by thanking you. You every week have given me your time and your ears. You listen to me. Who's this show for? Is it me doing it selflessly for you? No, let's be honest. It's for me. It's to make me feel as if somebody needs me. It's to make me feel as if I have some kind of purpose in this life, to tell stories, to try to make you laugh. And by giving me your attention like that, you give me a great gift. Oh, and don't think I don't appreciate it. I do so much. Thank you for being my friend. Sometimes I have been so down. Oh, I suffer just like you do from self-doubt, from depression, from anxiety. Sometimes I feel like my hold on this world is tenuous. And then, miraculously, I will hear a word of encouragement from you, and my heart will be made strong again. And then I can go out and touch somebody else and make them feel strong and better. And this chain goes on like that, this giving and this thanking. I love it. Let's continue to do it. Let's give thanks every day. Let's be consumed in this spirit. Let's go out there and say, I see big, funny crescents full of dried gourds everywhere. I see dried branches. I see old pine cones. I see things that I know smell like dead leaves. And that reminds me of the end of things, but it also reminds me of the harvest. And I'm so glad for it all. I'm glad for the seed. I'm glad for the sprout. I'm glad for the leaves in full bloom. And I'm also glad for the end of things, when they're brought in from the fields and made into bread and pies. Oh, I hope that I have made a pie for you and that you've enjoyed it. I don't like mincemeat. It's not mincemeat. I don't like rhubarb. It's not rhubarb. It's just a pie made of good intentions. Well, the road to hell is paved with pie. It may be. It may be paved with pie. I don't know. But wouldn't that be a nice road made of pies? No, I don't know then, friend. A cake? I don't know what you want. I don't know what you want. So I'm trying to put it all out there. It's why we bring so many dishes. So somebody is going to find something they like. And I hope that you do. I hope that you've received something that you've liked tonight. Oh, my friends, you are listening to something that I hope will make you feel nourished. That's why I call it Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in New York City and Rockland County. And online, worldwide, WFMU.org. I thank you so much for joining me this week and every week. And may you have a blessed Thanksgiving Day. And I will see you again next week.